This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
It's an honor this morning to have with us Professor Thomas Saz. Dr. Saz is a psychiatrist. He was professor of psychiatry at the State University of New York Health Science Center in Syracuse, famous for his book, The Myth of Mental Illness, all many other books. He's the leading opponent of the psychiatry profession as it exists in league with the state in this country and in other countries. He's also a liberator. It used to be in this country that it was very easy for people to be put away and against their will into mental hospitals by a psychiatrist with no due process. And if maybe relatives didn't like granddad, they could put him away. Dr. Saz is responsible for stopping that. There's a whole lot more freedom for people the psychiatry profession would like to jail than used to exist, and Dr. Thomas Saz is the reason. So, Dr. Saz, so great to have you with us. Tell me how you got interested in this. You are a psychiatrist, and yet you're the leading opponent of at least the psychiatry profession as it's developed. Why is that?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. You were very kind in your comments, but I'm afraid to say not entirely accurate. Let me first explain what psychiatry is, what it was, and then say something about how I got in. Psychiatry developed about 300 years ago as an arm of the law. It was always, its actual purpose was always to get rid of unwanted people. Unwanted in any way, because essentially because they were a nuisance, because they are deviant, because they are poor, or if they are rich, because they upset their families, and so on. Every day, you find examples of this in the press or in the movies. The movie Changeling is an example of this dynamic. Now, how I got into this is very simple. I always wanted to become a physician. And the physician, of course, has an ethical mandate that goes back to Hippocrates. First, do no harm. Physicians are supposed to help people. Now, ever since psychiatry became founded, or established 300 years ago, this has been compromised, or I would say negated, by the existence of psychiatry. Now, someone who listens to this might think that psychiatrists also help people. Well, certainly they also help people, but they shouldn't be harming anyone. And the phenomenon of involuntary mental hospitalization, without which psychiatry would disappear overnight. If you got rid of psychiatric coercion, there would be no psychiatry, because other physicians, other people, can also help people by talking to them. So I got into this after I became a physician. I trained in internal medicine, and then I decided to try to make a dent in this problem. Essentially, my views from a very early age were what would now be called libertarian, but in simple terms, I preferred liberty to slavery, as who doesn't, in principle. And I saw psychiatry as the principal institutional and moral antithesis of liberty, tolerated in the name of so-called treatment. So I trained as a psychiatrist essentially to have the credentials and also in order to be able to do voluntary psychotherapy on people who wanted to talk to me. And then I started to write about it, beginning with The Myth of Mental Illness and ever since then.
Well, it's magnificent, and tell us more about the origins of psychiatry. You say it developed as an arm of the law, which, of course, to a libertarian, that's not exactly praise.
Well, unfortunately, psychiatrists have been enormously successful in concealing this, and the public, of course, finds psychiatry extremely useful. Supposing the average person who hears this is a middle-class, upper-middle-class, educated person. Let's suppose he's a professor of English in one of our colleges, and has a 19 or 20-year-old son who quotes, falls into bad ways, and becomes an addict, what is now called an addict. That is to say, he ingests drugs, takes drugs, which he's not supposed to take. Now, there are two ways of dealing with this boy. He can go to jail as a criminal, which is according to our present criminal laws, or he can be put into the care, so-called care, of a psychiatrist. Now, virtually everyone prefers a second course. Everyone, that is, except the patient. The patient is then locked up and stigmatized for life. That's why our society, all Western societies, Russia, is full of people who have been in mental hospitals and are not grateful at all. They don't act like medical patients who say, thank you for locking me up.
I noticed that the Obama administration, in wanting to increase the amount of socialized medicine in this country, wants to vastly increase the subsidization of psychiatry. Seems to be an alarming prospect.
Mr. Rockwell, if you look at what has happened in the last 100 years or 50 years in the United States, you will notice one thing. There's absolutely no difference between Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, when it comes to two subjects, mental illness and incarceration on the one hand and drug laws on the other. One of the major reasons people end up in mental health care is the violation of the drug laws. Now, if there were no drug laws, which there were none before 1906 or 1916, depending on how you want to date it, then there would be no drug violations. That would be a private matter between the person himself and his family.
And, of course, the answer to those who seem to oppose the current drug war, not as libertarians would oppose it and think that the whole thing is a violation of liberty and a vast and illegitimate increase in the power of the state.
And the power of the medical profession, Mr. Rockwell.
And, of course, the people who would say the Democratic approach is to have more psychiatry. The Republican approach, more incarceration.
That's what I call medicalization. See, medicalization is a code word and a milder term for enlarging the scope of the state, which I call the alliance of psychiatry and the state. Now, to go back to your original question about how this developed and why psychiatry is an arm of the law, psychiatry, as we now know it, developed essentially in England in the 17th century. Now, England in the 17th century already had a highly developed legal system valuing individual liberty. Now, how do you get around this problem? By defining psychiatry as therapy, as medical care, and passing laws, so-called mental health laws, which enable insane asylum keepers to incarcerate individuals in insane asylums. I might add that until before the Second World War, when I went to medical school in the 1940s, there were no mental patients outside of asylums. The psychiatrist's power was really limited to locking up people. Now everyone in the country is essentially a potential mental patient. Most mental patients now are school children or people in nursing homes, or people in prisons. Because these are the three groups that can't resist being defined involuntarily as a mental patient.
And this is, of course, why there are so many school children are forced to take Ritalin and other psychoactive drugs.
Exactly. And this is always approached backwards by saying too many children are on drugs. That's not the point at all. The point is that no child should be stigmatized as mentally ill because they are all involuntary patients. They don't ask to be drugged psychiatrically because they're hyperactive or depressed. That's all imposed by force by medical doctors. It's exactly like it was in Russia, except I'm afraid to say it's 1,000 times worse because larger numbers are involved, much larger numbers, because we have much more money than the Soviets had. And every administration asks for more money for mental health. Every first lady is pushing it, virtually every first lady.
What is mental illness?
There is no such thing. All right, to answer your question, it is behavior that other people dislike. Now, that was essentially Mark Twain's definition of addiction, taking a drug that other people disapprove of. Prohibition is a very good example here. What was wrong with drinking or becoming drunk? You become drunk and poison your liver, that's your business.
That's right.
I mean, everybody believed that up until the Second World War. Up in the 1940s, any number of quotes to this effect, this is not original. Mencken said this, Chesterton said this, essentially this, almost verbatim. In fact, Chesterton said, if you don't have the freedom to drink and drink yourself to death, then you have no more freedom than a dog.
And of course, Mises said that having the government tell you what you could ingest was no different from having the government tell you what books you could read.
Exactly. Mises was very clear on this.
And yet, it's only libertarians who seem to find anything wrong with the drug war at its root. And there seem to be even fewer people who appreciate the work you've done and the stance you've taken and the sort of revisionist view of psychiatry. If somebody wants to learn more about the Sazian approach, what do they read? Go to your site, saz.com.
Without any false modesty, I would say there is no Sazian approach. I would call it now perhaps this is conceited, I would call it common sense, 19th century classical liberal approach. It requires distinguishing what is private and what is public. Now, medicine was always a private matter, and it is even today. You can have cancer of the brain and decide not to go to a doctor or not to have any treatment. Treatment in medicine is contingent on consent, not on being ill. This is 100% violated in psychiatry. If you are mentally ill, you don't have a right to be mentally ill. Then you have to be treated. Now, this is ironic, of course, because there is no mental illness. So it's a perfect anti-libertarian principle. And psychiatry rests on this. The National Institute of Mental Health, I mean, we have tremendous legal institutional investment in this psychiatry business. And so do other Western countries, of course.
And they seem to keep increasing the scope of the diagnosis. And the government and the psychiatric profession, the psychology profession, seem to keep finding new definitions of mental illness.
Well, you see, once you get into that language, you have already capitulated. There is no mental illness. There is no psychiatric diagnosis. There is no psychiatric treatment. These are all words. Words used by more powerful people against less powerful people in the name of helping them, but actually to control them or to punish them, or both.
Well, in some sense, this is the definition of the state, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so we've got the psychiatric state in this country.
Correct. I called it the therapeutic state 50 years ago.
Well, I want to urge everybody to take a look at Dr. Saz's website, saz.com, S-Z-A-S-Z.com. That's the Saz Center for Liberty and Responsibility. Dr. Saz, you've done a lot for mankind.
Well, thank you. You are too kind.
So it's a great honor to have you on the show, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.